Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Well, Kingdom, I really enjoyed that 30-6 beatdown of the Denver Broncos Thursday night by the Kansas City Chiefs. I know Mahomes got hurt in that game, but life is good going forward. And that was just a joy to watch, even if the Denver Broncos didn't really show up in that game. The Chiefs needed that kind of performance. And I am currently, in the early morning on Saturday, under my Chiefs blanket, laying on a recliner, as relaxed as can be. I've got an energy drink popped open, and I am ready to talk some Chiefs football while the rest of my household is sleeping. Now, Thursday night, Thursday right after work, I had to take off and watch my daughter play some middle school basketball, which was great. I really enjoyed getting to see her play. I don't get to see her play as much as I would like to, so that was really, really fun for me. So I was in a great mood, basically the games got over just after the Broncos scored their touchdown on the opening drive. So I got to listen to a ride up until that 4th-and-1 call when I made it home. Walked inside, turned the TV on, saw it was 4th-and-1, and basically got to see Mahomes get injured on the very first play. But, seeing that it was the kneecap and seeing him able to walk off the field under his own power, just not in a ton of pain, gave me some hope. Anybody who's played a lot of athletics, man, it is early in the morning, played a lot of sports or been around a lot of athletes, has seen dislocated kneecaps. It's not that uncommon. I'm sure it's very painful. I've never had it. But I've had a couple friends that have, and an aunt. And as long as, you don't tear a bunch of stuff up, you're not in terrible shape. The biggest thing I know from the people that I know is that once they pop their knee cap out of place, it tends to happen pretty often, unless you go in and have that repaired. So. And of course the news yesterday was that Mahomes didn't tear any ligaments in his knee. Probably sometime in the next 3 to 5 weeks, he'll be back and, probably wearing a knee brace, and likely probably to have surgery after this season just to make sure that it doesn't keep popping out of place. But that is very good news for Chiefs Kingdom. The next two games in front of the Chiefs are the Packers and Vikings, both at home. Those, are both very difficult games, with Mahomes or without Mahomes. But then after that, you've got the Titans, Chargers, Raiders going into a bye week. So those three games, all three of those teams are struggling right now, and they're all games that are very winnable with Matt Moore at quarterback. The next two games could be a bit of a struggle for the Chiefs, but at the same time, I think we'll learn a lot about this Chiefs football team in the next two games. Before I get into more of that, I want to talk about this Denver game, get into some of the stats. A breakdown of the Chiefs only had 14 first downs on offense, only had 271 total yards of offense in this game, and absolutely destroyed the Broncos. That's all the Chiefs offense needed in this game. Denver had 205 total yards of offense. And yes, Denver is extremely bad. But that was still a really good showcase from the Chiefs. I was worried about this game going in, honestly. And in the last couple weeks, it'd been kind of depressing to watch the defense play. And, Denver, with the running game they have, the Chiefs hadn't been able to stop the run. And then what I was really, really worried about was Cortland Sutton on the outside when it looked like, the Chiefs might only have two other corners available for the game. Breland was able to get to Denver and play in the game. But, you know, I was worried about Courtland Sutton because the Chiefs hadn't been able to get a whole lot of pressure on quarterbacks. And I thought Flacco, you know, might, you know, tear us up a little bit. He's the type of quarterback that if you give him a lot of time, you know, he can be okay. But if you put pressure on him, he's terrible. And thank God that Spagnuolo and the rest of the defensive coaches, you know, decided to go all out pressuring Flacco, and then the Chiefs executed that perfectly. You know, they just had a ton of fire, and it was a joy to watch. I'm sure you guys all got to see it and enjoyed it just as much as me. Even with Mahomes going down, you know, it just the cloud that had been over the Chiefs the last couple weeks, and over me, honestly. Those guys really lifted that and boosted my spirits and just let me enjoy watching defensive football again, honestly. And, you know, I never honestly thought Mahomes was probably that hurt. Maybe that was just trying to be an optimist and not allowing myself to face reality. But at least it looks like that's probably likely now. The Chiefs sacked Joe Flacco 9 times for 79 yards. You know, Matt Moore was only sacked once for 2 yards. You know, the Chiefs offensive line held up very well. You look at next gen stats, Von Miller did get a ton of pressure on Chiefs quarterbacks, but he never got home, never got a sack. And then the rest of the Denver pass rush was nowhere close to league average. But Von Miller was much better than league average in that game. He just wasn't able to finish it off. And then on the Chiefs side, with those 9 sacks, Emmanuel Ogba had great pressure on the quarterbacks, much better than league average. Alex Okafor also. And then Frank Clark was just a hair better than league average. And Pasneo was just worse than league average. But, you know, all 4 of those guys did a good job. Now back to some of the total stats. You know, Kansas City had no turnovers, even with Matt Moore coming in. He did throw the one pass that probably should have been picked, but it wasn't. And Flacco fumbled 3 times for Denver, only lost the one, but it was scooped and taken back for a touchdown right after Mahomes went out with the injury. Just another big boost. And then the Chiefs ran the ball 27 times, only picked up 80 yards. I think some of that was just the fact that Denver was looking for the run more after Mahomes went out. And then on the Denver side, they rushed 21 times for 71 yards. So they did not get much going at all in the run game. That is just great to see. Chiefs had 6 penalties, Denver had 4. So it wasn't the flag fest that the last few Chiefs games had been. And then the Chiefs converted 5 of 15 third downs. Denver only converted 1 of 13. My goodness. And they were 1 of 3 converting fourth down. And Chiefs won time of possession by just a little over 4 minutes. I'm getting to the specific stats. Matt Moore completed 10 of 19 passes for 117 yards and 1 touchdown. You know, honestly, I thought he did a really good job for coming in cold. You know, he's never thrown a pass really to any of those first team guys. So, you know, to just walk in, I was honestly surprised he was that good. You know, he didn't turn the ball over. He had the one pass over Kelsey, like I said, that could have been picked. But, you know, I was very satisfied with what we got out of him, especially like his pocket presence, how he was able to maneuver around the pocket. And for a guy who's approaching, you know, late 30s, 40 years old, you can tell he's got a very strong arm, much stronger than Henny or Shermer, either one. Which means, you know, that the Chiefs' offensive playbook maybe is a little bit more open with him compared to those other guys. Mahomes, before he got hurt, was 10 of 11 for 76 yards, had the one touchdown. He hadn't hit anything deep yet, but he was carving up the Broncos defense. Now McCoy had 12 rushes for 64 yards. He really looked good carrying the ball against Denver. And then Damian Williams had 9 carries for 7 yards. Kind of continued the trend of Damian Williams not really looking that good as a ball carrier. I think we all knew coming into the season that he was a better pass catcher and a route runner than he was a running back, but that's really amplified when you see LeSean McCoy, who's just the opposite. He's a much better ball carrier than he is a pass catcher. You know, if you could just put those two guys in the same body, you'd have a super running back, but, you know, we've got a fine rotation of guys. Darrell Williams, you know, he got some play out there too, and of course Darwin Thompson is my favorite out of all these guys and always will be, because I'm just the Darwin Thompson guy, whether he plays much in the NFL or not. My mind is made up. LeSean McCoy did have 2 receptions for 12 yards. Damian Williams had 2 receptions, and Darrell Williams had 2 receptions. None of the running backs did a whole lot with the receptions. Like I said, I think a lot of that was later in the game when the Broncos were really kind of crowding the line of scrimmage after Mahomes got out. Tyreek Hill caught 3 of 5 passes for 74 yards and a touchdown. That beautiful shallow wheel route he ran on Chris Harris, and then Matt Moore, you know, threw a perfect pass on that. That was a great play. Chris Harris said he'd never seen that route before, and it just surprised him. You know, he gave a lot of props to Tyreek Hill. You can tell Chris Harris respects the crap out of Tyreek Hill. That is awesome, because I respect the crap out of Chris Harris. Him and Von Miller both, I respect a lot. I do think Von Miller doesn't show up sometimes when the team isn't playing well. But Chris Harris, I think, is 100% effort all the time, and I love that about the guy. Travis Kelce had 8 targets, got 6 of those for 44 yards. DeMarcus Robinson caught 3 for 31. Mecole Hardman caught the 2 for 28 with a touchdown. You know, so Pringle did disappear in this game. He was out there a little bit. He had a penalty, a stupid penalty. You know, I want Pringle to succeed in this league, but, you know, the role that he's got right now, he can't have those stupid penalties. It was a pick play on a route to Kelce. Honestly, it was a route where Kelce was going to be open anyway, and Pringle went out of his way to pick the guy. It was just a stupid play where his awareness wasn't what it should have been. But, you know, he's young. He's just got to get this stuff figured out. The reason I'm so hard on him is because I think he's got a ton of potential, and I don't want him to give the Chiefs any reason not to have him out on the field, because I think Pringle has the ability to be a player. And the longer I've watched the NFL and kind of, you know, watched a little bit of film and looked at these guys, as I realized how many guys are really talented that never get their break. You know, either they just go to the wrong team or they make a few too many mental mistakes. And you don't get that long of a look in the NFL because there's always another group of guys coming. So I'd really like to see Pringle and Darwin Thompson succeed in this league. Flacco was 21-34 for 213 yards, sacked 8 times. You know, one of the 9 accredited sacks was actually on the Denver punter, on that stupid fake punt Denver ran. I was in the car driving home, but just the way they described it on the radio made it sound pretty stupid. I have not went back and watched the part of the game that I listened to on the radio. Lindsey and Freeman were right there together. Lindsey had 11 carries for 36 yards. Freeman had 10 for 35. The one thing I was a little bit surprised with was they only got 1 pass to Lindsey for -4 yards. They targeted Freeman a little more. He caught 4 or 5 targets for 32 yards. And then Sutton led the team with 6 receptions for 87 yards. But he wasn't able to break loose. He wasn't able to catch the big touchdown. And Courtland Sutton, you know, he looks like he's going to be a big-time player for the Broncos. I don't know that he's ever going to be a star, you know, top 10, top 15 receiver in this league. But he's going to be in that next tier, that guy that on certain games is going to be extremely, extremely dangerous. I would almost kind of compare it to a little bit to Dwayne Bowe. How Bowe would have games where he'd be kind of pedestrian, and then he'd have the monster games. And I honestly think Courtland Sutton's going to be that way his whole career. Sanders had 5 receptions on 6 targets, 60 yards. And then outside of that, the Broncos didn't have much. The fullback caught 1 pass for 22 yards. Noah Fant caught 1 of 5 for 7 yards. I thought the broadcast was giving Fant a little bit of a hard time. He did have 2 drops on deep passes, but honestly, I thought they were pretty poor throws by Flacco. You know, if he puts those on Noah Fant catches those, and they are big plays. Let's see. Deontay Spencer had 1 reception for 5 yards. Deshaun Hamilton had 2 catches on 5 targets for 4 yards. And he had Fenton on him in that game. Fenton looked great. Just the few times he was targeted, he only gave up 2 catches on 5 targets, and he tackled the guy immediately. I was shocked at how good he looked. I'm not sure how good Deshaun Hamilton is, so I don't want to say that Fenton's a world-class slot corner or anything like that, but he definitely took care of his business in this game. On defense, there was definitely a team effort. I'm looking here, 19 guys with a tackle in this game. That is good work. Hitchens led the team with 6 tackles. Clark was right behind them with 5. Okafor had 4. Ogbah had 3. Ragland had 2. Sorry, they are not listed in order. Tied with Clark, second on the team, was Maurice Claiborne with 5, Tyrann Mathieu with 5, and Ben Neiman with 5, and Rashawn Fenton had 4 himself. So the tackles really were spread all the way around. And of course, I'm looking at Pro Football Reference. They track things a little bit different. They don't track pressures on quarterbacks, but they do track quarterback hits. The Chiefs had 9 of them to go with the 9 sacks. Well, that's a stupid way of saying that for me. Anyway, all the sacks were also quarterback hits. Maybe that's the better way to put it. Basically, when they got hands to Flacco, they got him down. Hitchens had 2 sacks. Clark had 2 sacks. Okafor had 2 sacks. And then Ogbah, Ragland, and Watts all had a sack apiece. So, those 9 sacks spread out between 6 guys. And, of course, Frank Clark was getting held all game by Garrett Bowles. It's good to see Clark play with that kind of aggressiveness and look like he's having that kind of fun out there, because I think he's a guy that him having fun and playing well goes hand in hand, like a lot of people. But he just strikes me as even more that way. I'm on the Broncos. Todd Davis, Justin Simmons led their team with 8 tackles apiece. The Chiefs finally had a kind of bigger special teams play. Well, really 2 of them, stopping the Broncos' fake punt. And then Hardman had 1 punt return for 36 yards, set the Chiefs up very well early in the game. Butker, was 3 for 3 on field goals. It was good to see him be dead on this week, because I'm not going to say he's really struggled this year, but he hasn't been as dead on as he's seen the past couple. I'm going to get down here to some of the snap counts. Of course, on offense, the offensive line basically played all the snaps except for Martinez Rankins, who did get a little banged up. But he did play all but 4 of the offensive snaps. And Wisniewski came in and played 4 in relief of him. Travis Kelce played 90% of the snaps. Tyreek Hill played 87%. Robinson played 80%. And then Blake Bell played close to 50%. Hardman close to 50%. And McCoy was in there for 43%, Darrell Williams for 28%. For some reason, it looks like they left Damian Williams off of this. Like I say, sometimes their snap counts are a bit messed up. But if I figure it myself here, bum bum bum, 60, that would give Williams about a 29%. Damien, 29% of the snaps. Pringle was actually out there for 14 snaps, so close to a quarter of the game, which I was glad to see. And then Sherman got 12 snaps, which that's by far the most he's had in the game this season on actual offense. Now on defense, Matthew, Thornhill, both played over 90% of the snaps. And then Passanio played 76% of the snaps, along with Frank Clark, and Alex Okafor was one snap less than them. So they played three defensive ends for a big part of this game. When they were able to stop Denver's run game and force them into passing situations, they had those three guys on the field a lot. Derek Nnadi had a monster game, probably the best game he's played for the Chiefs. He was unstoppable. Colin Saunders, who played 40% of the snaps, he looked better than he had at all this season. He only had to play the 27 snaps, but I was glad to see that he was, not getting pushed around as much in there. I've been hard on Colin Saunders. I'm not sure if I've been that hard on him on the podcast. I honestly can't remember, but I have a lot of conversations about the Chiefs, and I've been very hard on him because he hasn't really impressed me much. But I've got a lot of hope for him, and I think the guy's got a lot of talent. That's probably, a reason why I've been so hard on him, because I want to see him succeed. And I think, I don't know the guy personally, but for some reason, I had the idea in my head that it was his mentality that needed to change for him to start being able to play in this league. And I think hopefully maybe we saw a little bit of the turn in the mentality with him. I think he's been a little bit of a finesse player as a defensive tackle. And you just really can't do that in the NFL. Somebody that, if you can get some good play out of him this year, that's great. If he, in this offseason, can, be serious about the weight room, put on some serious strength to go with his athletic ability and speed, the guy could be a beast. Maybe not on Chris Jones level, but definitely still a guy who can make plays. Sorensen played 63% of the snaps. Darren Lee only played two, so Sorensen definitely kind of filled that role, and he did very well. Bashaud Breeland played 42 snaps, so about 63% of the time. Fenton played 57%, and then you had Neiman coming in about 50% of the snaps, which I prefer that for Neiman. I like Neiman a lot, but I don't think he's probably ever going to be an every down player. Just doesn't necessarily have the body for it. And then you've got Damian Wilson, who came in at 49% of the snaps, so less than Neiman. And then you had Hitchens at 48% of the snaps, Nnadi at 48. Those guys didn't have to play a lot of snaps, but man, they made the most of it when they did. Raglan played 25 snaps, Claiborne played 24, and Terrell McClain, the backup defensive end we signed, or sorry, defensive tackle we signed before the Texans game, played 10 snaps. And honestly, he's held his ground. He's not looked terrible as a guy that we just signed off the street. Been honestly a little bit surprised at how good he looked. Looking at the passing charts for Flacco, he didn't get hardly anything deep. He was 1 of 6 deep, to the sidelines, past the line of scrimmage. He really didn't get a whole lot. Now, he was able to attack the middle of the field, the linebackers. He was 6 of 7 in that area for 89 yards. And then behind the line of scrimmage, of course, he completed 7 of 7 for 30 yards. Every quarterback's going to have better looking numbers there. Barkley, he only attempted one pass of over 20 yards. He didn't complete that. He attempted, what, 9, 10, 11, 14 passes between the line of scrimmage and 20 yards down the field. And he completed 8 of those. So, you know, like I say, I think it as good as he could have done just coming in, never having a rep with any of those guys. He's seen their speed in practice, but he's never had to throw to their speed. Excuse me, got the hiccups. Gonna get a drink of that monster I was talking about earlier. Now, LeSean McCoy. His running chart looks good. The only place where he didn't have success was running behind Cam Irving. He had 3 attempts that direction for 5 yards, but everywhere else he was good. And then the Chiefs, it looks like they had good coverage on the Broncos receivers. That really looks better when you don't have to cover for that long. And then on the passing chart for the Chiefs, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, they were both open on their receptions, but Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, the Broncos had good coverage on those guys. They just got the passes anyway, and they caught them. Talking about Matt Moore and this team going forward for a couple weeks without Patrick Mahomes. One, for Mahomes, I hate to see him go through this injury, but I do think it allows him to reset a little bit. It allows his ankle to heal up. He's probably going to have to wear a brace the rest of the season, but, he gets to step back a little bit, recover. I don't know, I almost look at it like, he gets a mini bye in the middle of the season as a player. You never want to see a guy deal with injuries, but, I could see this as a positive for him moving forward, especially because I think Andy Reid is going to have to change this offense a little bit for Matt Moore and make things easier for Matt Moore. I think Reid will be able to do that. I don't think Moore is going to look like the greatest backup ever, but, I think he's going to be able to do some things. And I think that this offense will be better for it when Mahomes comes back. Because I think some of those easier things that they're going to have to put in for Moore will still be there when Mahomes gets back. Moore will be a little bit different to game plan for opposing teams. The Chiefs still have a ton of offensive weapons, so they still have to account for people. The Chiefs' stable of running backs could be very valuable over this time, too. Green Bay and the Vikings both, good teams. I feel really terrible for all the people that paid a lot of money to go see Mahomes and Rodgers. I was tempted to do it myself, and I'm a cheap, cheap man. But, I didn't. And I feel bad for everyone out there. They still, will get to see Aaron Rodgers play. And if the Chiefs defense brings the type of intensity they had this week, they can make a game out of that with really, anyone. I know Denver's offense is terrible, but if you can get that kind of pressure on a quarterback, you're going to be in games. Like I say, I think this makes Reed look at his offense a little bit differently. It allows him to reset too. I think the Chiefs are still set up to win the AFC West and still set up to make a run at the Super Bowl. And, I saw it on Twitter immediately after the game because I wanted to be the first one to post it on Twitter. And, of course, somebody always beats me to it because there are a lot faster thinkers out there than me. But, the last time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, the 69 season, Lenny Dawson missed a lot of that season with a knee sprain, and a backup quarterback had to come in. Dawson came back at the end of the season. The Chiefs were on a roll, and they won the Super Bowl. And I think this, these games without Mahomes, also puts some pressure on the defense. It makes them feel valuable to this team. It's not just about the offense being historic and the defense trying to hold on. The Chiefs need the defense now. And there's a big part of me hoping that means something to these Chiefs players and that they come out playing like that. That fire and knowing that they're needed and that they're a valuable part of this Super Bowl bound team. You get the defense playing on all cylinders. You get the Chiefs offense, with Mahomes back playing on all cylinders. One thing the Chiefs offense hadn't necessarily been doing early in the season was, converting a super high percentage of passes, especially in the two losses. Getting some of these easier throws, things like that, getting the offensive line healthy before Mahomes comes back. That makes this offense that much tougher to play against because they can kill you slowly and they can kill you in a big fashion. I think there's a beneficial way to look at all of this. I honestly don't think this hurts the Chiefs' Super Bowl chances any at all. They could lose the next two games. They're 5-4. But I honestly think they find a way to at least win two of the next three against the Titans, Chargers, Raiders. And you're setting at, 7 wins then? You probably need to get to 9 wins to win this division. But, it also helps that this isn't the world's toughest division this year. Some of that Patriots luck, because all that really matters is the Chiefs being 100% come that first playoff game. I've just really enjoyed the game this week. I've got a really good feeling about the Chiefs. I can't explain it. I know Mahomes is out, but I just really do. That is all I got this week, Chiefs Kingdom. I could talk forever, but I won't this time, okay? Have a great week, and go Chiefs. I know that I am really lame, and that the podcast is never over when I actually say that it is over. But I want to end every podcast this season just by saying that the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl this year.